At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
September 10th, 2020, it's the Beating the Book podcast, now. Week 1 of the National Football League season. It's Gil Alexander. It is our, I'm going to call it our 10th season on the Megapod. Very pumped. Thank you to everybody who has listened throughout the years. And for everybody who asked for it on Thursdays on Twitter, we love you. Back this year, the staples of the show. Yinzer from Pittsburgh, one of the stars of Showtime's docuseries Action back in the day. It's Todd Wishnev, a svelte Todd Wishnev. How many pounds have you lost, Toddy?
Well, I'm down to 249. If, you know, during the Action show, I was 325, so that's... If you're doing the math at home, that's about 76 pounds. Oh, shit, there goes my water. Anyways, well, that's a lot of pounds. 76 pounds from the top. And since I was in Vegas, another 41.
We're off to a flying start, everybody. And, of course, Mike Palm, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Stevens, consigliere, the vice president of operations over there at Circus Sports. Mikey, thank you for doing this.
I'm so excited to be back on with Todd. I missed him as... You know, 2020 was the census year, and like all of his people, he had to return home for the census. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again soon.
Not even sure. I don't even know what kind of, like, dig that was. I didn't even really get it. So, Mike, maybe you'll explain it to me later.
That's just a governmental joke from Mike. Nothing more. Our rotating guest, and we always have a rotating guest. He is always in the leadoff spot, a tradition unlike any other. Past, we won't even give the year anymore. Former Super Contest champion over there when it was called the Hilton. So that gives you some sense of when in history
so
it was.
So 1874?
Something like that. Part of the Sans Souci team when he won it. At the time, the finest record in Super Contest history as well. It's Brady Cannon. How you doing, Brady?
I'm doing great. Good to be back on the Megapod.
See, now, Mike, here's what happened before the show. Mikey joked that if Brady's on, the show's going to last double the length that it normally does. So now Brady's only speaking in phrases. He's like, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Keeping it brief.
Don't let Mike get you down. I don't think you talk too much. And you know Mike, he just loves to like get a meme going about somebody that's totally not true. And you know how it is. Those big casino executives, they just care about themselves. We know.
Brady, how many people were in the Super Contest in 2011 when you won it?
517. And what's interesting about that number, that was a record high at the time. And ever since then, it really just increased exponentially. I think the next year there was about 750, and then they got to about 1,100. And, you know, nowadays we're into the neighborhood of the 3,000s, not this year. But, yeah, 517, and that was a record high.
Brady, you're modest. Is it fair to say that it was your idea to have Super Contest weekend thereafter?
It was, yes. After the victory by Sans Souci, I got on the phone with Jay Cornegay, and I said, hey, let's throw a golf tournament. Let's have a big to-do to get everybody fired up about football and have everybody come to your hotel for the weekend. And I think it was just a few weeks ago that we completed our ninth Super Contest weekend. So
Wow. That
has stuck. And now Mikey's involved, too. They have their own contest weekend, so it's great stuff.
Did you use the phrase to-do when you asked about this with Jay Cornegay? Was that actually what came out of your
head? I did, specifically.
Yes. Mikey, what Brady is referring to, obviously, is that Circus Sports entered the contest game last year, and to much fanfare. You are doing it again this year. You are doing it with a Survivor contest as well. Can you explain to the peoples... I don't know why I just talk like Bill Cosby, but can you explain to the peoples what the overlay may or may not be in both of those as we approach Saturday week one deadline? Because you got a huge sprint here at the end of entries, didn't you?
A real last minute rush. I mean, you asked the P.T. Barnum question about 3 weeks ago when we were at about 300 entries, Gil, about
yes.
How much of this overlay is real and how much is P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
In the last 15 days, we've done almost 2,000. As we speak, the Circa Million 2, which this year Derek guaranteed $3 million instead of $1.5 million and needs 3,000 entries to break even for us, is at 2,456. And, I mean, there's an outside shot we get to 3,000. We did 330 on Tuesday, and we did 430 entries yesterday, and we're at 100
already.
So
you're going to get it.
Almost.
So you're going to get it for sure then.
Now, we're not for sure. Remember, the proxies starting really tomorrow and Saturday have to start putting picks in. So it's hard for them to get a lot of appointments. The late rush, if it is one, will be mostly locals, people living in Nevada. So
and what's the drop dead hour, like exact hour?
The bewitching hour is 2 p.m. on Saturday, Todd, and then you have to have your picks in by 3. Now, the survivor we introduced, it's the last man standing. I'm sure many of your loyal Megapod listeners are familiar with that. You pick a team, no point spread. You can only use them once during the year, and who's ever left at the end wins $1 million. Derek guaranteed $1 million. So we actually surpassed it, and we're at 1,047 right now. So maybe we get to 1,200, 1,250, 1,300 in that for a pot of $1.3 million. We added the wrinkle that if anybody...
Wait, is that winner take all?
Todd, I want you to treat this like this is the McLaughlin group. Talk when you are called upon.
Look, I haven't gotten any airtime in months, so it's my time, baby. It's my time!
Let him tell his story.
Todd is saying with metaphysical certainty, we'll get to 3,000. There's yes. A McLaughlin reference for you. Eleanor Clift. Anyhow, maybe we can get to 1,300. It's winner take all, Todd. If anybody goes perfect, and we added the three Thanksgiving Day games as its own week, so you got to save one of those six teams in case you get there. If anybody goes 18-0 or multiple people go 18-0, Derek will add $1 million on top of the pot. So
Wow. One
guy goes 18-0, he's looking at like $2.2 million right now. So even if it ended in week 14 and there was one player left, he still got to put picks in the rest of the way to see if he can get the $1 million bonus.
By the way, typically do Survivor people go the entire season to win, or do they usually win before the season ends?
You know, in stations, they have 100,000 people in it. But you know, they're $20, $25. We'll have about 1,000. I would be surprised if somebody made it 18-0. I predicted it would be around 15th or 16th week when we'd be down to one. But we'll see. It's interesting. It's a different year, and it may be tough to get through the first few weeks when we haven't seen anybody play.
I asked Mikey a few weeks ago how much of this is real and how much of this is P.T. Barnum, which is my way of saying to him, how much of this is you and Derek bullshit us? What an asshole question for me. I apologize 3 weeks later. But, you know, I thought a worthwhile question nonetheless. All right, boys, here's how it goes. We have the format that we've had for years. Let's move the Thursday night game up to the front. We don't have to elaborate on it if we have no particular conviction on either the side or the total. But it is the Chiefs and the Texans. It is 9.5 in favor of the Chiefs. in a quote-unquote home game, right? It is a home game, but it's obviously the year of COVID, so things aren't exactly the same as they used to be. The total is at 54. Mikey, let's start with you, or actually let's start with our guest, because that's the only polite thing to do. Brady, anything tonight, Thursday Night Football?
I actually did play the Texans, and you know, this is not a handicapping element that I think you want to base your play on, but I do think there is a little bit of a revenge angle here, and specifically playoff revenge, because we remember the Texans got out to a 24-0 lead. And again, that is not the basis of the handicap here, but I still believe that they have not forgotten that and do want to make amends for that. I also think the general public likes to bet against Bill O'Brien, and the Chiefs, conversely, are a big public darling. So I think this point spread is skewed a little bit. I do think Houston has a chance to win the game, but I'll go with the points here, plus 9.5, and I'll say Kansas City by 6.
One of the more memorable playoff games in recent history. As Brady said, the Texans went out to a 24-0 lead. Kansas City eventually won it 51-31, but they came back from the 24-0 deficit, as I recall, with 8 straight drives in which they scored, 7 of which were touchdowns. 1 field goal, just an amazing turn of events. One of the great playoff games.
Is that Brady's actual, is that one of your 3 picks, Brady? Because as the stenographer, I have to get this down correctly.
No, it is not one of my official best bets for the podcast, but I do officially have the Texans in pocket.
Todd, let me ask you a question. Could you let the last 3 words of my last sentence finish before you do that, or you just need to knock out those last 3 words?
2.5 I
okay.
can do.
All right, I appreciate that. Mikey or Todd, anything on this game tonight? Anything?
I can't believe Todd hasn't spoken yet. And by the way, you're the secretary. You're not the stenographer, Todd.
That's right.
He called me the stenographer.
I did off air. I'm sorry. Maybe I should downgrade him, if that's a downgrade.
Todd, take note of this. I have an official play on this. Okay, one of my 3 picks is tonight, and it's only because I'm really struggling to come up with 3 plays. But I'm going to go over 54 tonight in this game. I think this Houston offense.
Mike, you're downgrading yourself. It's actually 53 or 53.5. This is the first time ever.
54 in the open. If you were listening, he previewed the game as 54.
Well, Gil got it wrong.
Well, let me see. Maybe I did get it wrong because I didn't have the totals up. So it's very possible, ladies and gentlemen, that I got this wrong.
Mikey.
The number, the consensus number is, my screen's not coming up. 53.5. Actually, hold on. Hold everything.
This is the new Todd.
53. It is 53. Pardon me.
I see you a whole point, Mikey.
Wait a minute. You said 53.5. You were trying to still chintz me out of a half. So I'm going to go
said
over
53 or 53.5. I saved you a point.
I'm going to go over 53. I think this Texans offense is loaded. And here's the other reason. There's no crowd noise at Arrowhead to mess with them on 3rd and long. Okay. This will be an interesting factor for bookmakers when they're trying to set these totals. The defense is not going to benefit the home team from loud noise and snap counts. Not only the false starts, but your offensive line not firing off the ball all at the same time. I think this is the shootout. I'm with Brady. I think this number is greatly exaggerated. And if you could have gotten 10 on this game, good for you. But official play, Todd, over 53.
Over 53 for Mike Palm. Todd, anything from you or no?
I'm not making any official play on this game. I really don't have a feel for it, although I lean towards the Texans. I mean, 9.5 points is a lot of points. And it's not like the Chiefs. Now, granted, in the playoffs, they did have that blowout. But the Chiefs didn't blow people out every single week last week. If you remember, there were a lot of close games. And 9.5 points against a good team is too many. Now, I'm not making it a pick or anything. But, you know, I would lean with Brady on this one.
No pick from me. In-game opportunity. I think if I leaned anything, I'd lean with Mikey, but no pick from me on this. Let us begin with the official best bets. Brady, we start with you. What is pick number one, sir?
I'm going to begin with the Los Angeles Rams, and I actually made this bet back in May, Rams plus 3 against the Cowboys, and much of this was based off of my feeling, Gil, on what the public perception of these two teams is, and I think in week 1, starting your point of handicap with public perception is kind of a good starting point. You can dive into the personnel, the injuries, and all that type of thing. Obviously, we don't have preseason to assess this year, but I think public perception is a good starting point in week one. And with the Cowboys, you know, new head coach, a perceived upgrade from Jason Garrett, the shiny new draft pick in C.D. Lamb, and how much talent this team has had for years, brutally underachieving last season. And it just seems like people are giddy about America's team and are already crowning them Super Bowl champion. Conversely, I think the public perception is extremely low on the Los Angeles Rams. And I also think it's very interesting that all summer long, this line was pretty much frozen at 3, even though it seems the public judgment of these two teams already exists. And now, just finally, here on opening night, we're starting to see some 2.5s pop up. So maybe some Rams money finally coming in. I think the Cowboys will be good for sure, but I think the Rams will be much better than the general consensus is. I also think Sean McVay's offense is going to be able to use misdirection and really take advantage of what is a pretty weak Dallas Cowboy linebacking core. If you look at the running backs that they have in Los Angeles to replace Todd Gurley, the draft pick Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers is really a stud. And a lot of people would have known more about him if Florida State was any good last year. But I think those three guys will allow Jared Goff to have play-action pass opportunities. And we all, I think, can agree, whether you like Jared Goff or not, when he's able to do play-action pass, that's when he's at his best. I think this game has a potential for a lot of points, but I think the Rams are kind of a sleeping dog here with everybody so high on Dallas and down on the Rams. Also, a couple of big losses in the lineup at the line of scrimmage for Dallas. I don't think this necessarily affects the point spread, but could affect the game. That's offensive tackle Lael Collins out for Dallas. Gerald McCoy, of course, will be out on defense. So I think the Rams could win this thing outright. I did not bet the money line, but I will see if I can win the game with the points.
All right, Rams plus 3 extra juice. Give them some extra juice there, Toddy. Plus 3 minus 120 consensus on the Rams. That is the Sunday night game of the week. By the way, Drew Dinsick, who does such great work, Whale Capper on Twitter, who was on a numbers game on VSiN with me earlier this week, he also loves the Rams. We'll hope to get him on the Megapod at some point this year. By the way, in contrast to the Texans and the Chiefs, where the Chiefs obviously beat the Texans in that comeback we just talked about on their way to winning the Super Bowl last year, Cowboys and the Rams, two of the most disappointing teams last year in the NFL, if we recall. Cowboys ended up going 8-8 out of the playoffs, a game behind the Eagles in the NFC East. And the Rams, after getting to the Super Bowl the previous year and losing to the Patriots, they finished 9-7 on the outside looking in, third place behind the Niners and the Seahawks in the NFC West. Todd, number one from you.
Well, you all know that even though some people don't think I'm that bright, I did have a lot of very juicy stuff last year in the National Football League and have forgotten more about gambling than some people will ever know. I won't talk about who those people may be, but I will just say this. I was dead right on the damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers going over every damn week of the NFL season, except the ones that I held off, didn't bet them over against Houston Texans. It didn't go over. And then all the rest of them, I just kept going over because they couldn't play defense, and they had a great offensive football team. Plus, Jameis Winston pitched in with a bunch of pick sixes, and it was just beautiful. It was like Gonzaga over, baby. Tampa Bay Buccaneers over. And I'm going to go with, even though I've got background noise from Bar Canada, I'm going to go with the over. Why? In the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-New Orleans Saints game. And here's why. I've got Tom Terrific Brady at the offensive helm. That's got to be as good as Jameis Winston. So we're going to be able to score a lot of points. I don't believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have upgraded the defensive end of the ball until I see it with my own eyes. And guess who they're going against? Yep, that's right. They're going against Drew Brees, he of the, well, maybe not the smartest things to say in a racial pandemic situation, but the Drew Brees-led New Orleans Saints. I'll take the over because I think there's going to be points all over this football field. The consensus is 47.5 or 48. Gil, tell me what I get. I'm going over those numbers, baby.
You get 47.5, sir. Over 47 and a half for the Tampa Bay New Orleans game. That's an afternoon game, one of three afternoon games on Sunday, week one. How many early games? I hate when they do this. There are a grand total of nine early games and three afternoon games. Then we have a Sunday night. And remember, a Monday night doubleheader coming up as well. Mikey, was that pick that you gave earlier, was that your number one best bet on the over of the Houston KC game? Why don't you give us your number one best bet?
It was actually my number two best bet. And what is a racial pandemic? My number one best bet.
I don't know.
My number one.
You don't know what a racial pandemic is?
No one knows.
It's the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football.
Oh, there it is.
Wait a second. Gil didn't give his first pick. You can't go to the second pick already.
He's the host, not you.
Well,
he didn't, came to me.
No.
I was trying. Here, Todd. Okay, fine. Here's the thing. My number one pick happens to be, are you ready for this? The Tennessee Titans. So.
Okay, but.
Because
we
Mikey,
have to get everybody in order.
Okay, but Mikey already gave a pick, so I was just asking him if that it was his number one pick. Do you understand, Todd? It was his number two
your
pick.
Way, you asked me to hold you in you okay. know contempt, all and right. I do it, and then I get killed.
Okay, you held me in contempt. So, okay, I'll follow the guy who apparently is more than just a secretary. He also can hold us in contempt. I'm on Tennessee, and then Mikey, you can chime in with your number two pick to start things out. How about that? Or your number one pick on this also? You know, your number two. No, you're number one. But here's my number one as well. This is both Mikey and my number one pick. We're on Tennessee. I'm on Tennessee because of the following. If you listen to a numbers game, maybe I said it on the Megapod 2 last year, but all last year, and I think I did this with you, Todd, a number of times, no one loves Drew Lock more than Drew Lock. When he made good plays, that dude was the happiest guy in the world. He just thought he was a world killer. But if you go back and look at his run late last year, Drew Lock beat up on really bad pass defenses. In his four victories, really bad, bottom quarter, check that, pass defenses in the National Football League. And so competition matters. Adam Chernoff, who was on VEASAN, the show before me on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, he actually added to that as well, where he said, not only that, he was also helped, Drew Lock was, by yards after catch, primarily by his receivers in a way that most quarterbacks were not. And if you look deep into his pressure stats, how does he perform under pressure? Not good at all. Almost bottom of the barrel in the National Football League. So here he is now, beginning of his sophomore season. There's a Von Miller problem that just happened in Denver. Brutal loss for the Denver Broncos. Tennessee was a two-point dog, two-and-a-half-point dog at one point. They're a two-point favorite. Guess what? I still like them. As long as it's not three, Tennessee Titans, who, on the other hand, to me, are criminally underrated, even after their great playoff run, having beaten the Patriots and the Ravens last year. So for me, it's Tennessee. Mikey?
Yeah, I agree with you. I was listening to the president of the Todd Wishnev fan club, Michael Lombardi, talking about they're not going to play Drew Lock in September the way they played Drew Lock in December last year in those meaningless games. There's too much public perception of this great Drew Lock. I agree with you, Gil. It's much different. He's going to have to go up against a much more well-coached defense than he faced at the end of the year last year. And, yeah, Von Miller is a factor in this for me. I thought this was a cheap price. Personally, I make the Titans about a four-point favorite in this game. So that's my number one best bet.
Okay, that's my number one as well. Brady, let's get your number two since we already had Mikey's number two.
My second play is on the Atlanta Falcons and as high as plus 2.5 now. I got them at plus 2 over the Seattle Seahawks, and I think you can begin with public perception again here too. People remember Atlanta starting the season last year at 1-7. Dan Quinn was going to be fired. They tend to forget that this team finished the year 6-2 with wins over San Francisco, the Saints. They won their last four in a row. I also think public perception on Todd Gurley is low, but I think the change of scenery will be very good for him. It seems like this guy's been around forever, but people forget he's only 26 years old. And you add him to this offense that I think is extremely powerful from a passing standpoint and a potentially elite running back. I think this can be a really well-balanced, formidable attack for Atlanta. And on the other side of the coin here, I think the public looks at Seattle only laying a point or two, and it looks like low-hanging fruit. And Gil, you know, Seattle has notoriously struggled against the spread on the road. Atlanta, by the way, very good at home, 11-1 straight up against the spread in home openers under Matt Ryan. I think Seattle is still questionable on the offensive line. They don't have a great pass rush. We know they did not sign Clowney. Dan Quinn, of course, spent a long time in Seattle under Pete Carroll as the defensive coordinator. He knows what this team is going to try to do. Falcons also, last four meetings against Seattle, are undefeated against the spread. I think it's possible that the wrong team is favored here. Now, you know, there's not a huge difference between Seattle minus two and Atlanta minus one, but I think this game should probably be pick 'em at worst. I like Atlanta at home catching a couple points. Seattle on the road, I think, is a fade situation in the opening game of the season. I'll take Atlanta here.
Matter of fact, Todd, give him plus 2.5. That seems to be the consensus right now. So Atlanta plus 2.5. That game for me is going to come up later, but in a totally different context later on in the show as we progress through all of our questions. It's one thing to have a global pandemic. It's one thing to have racial protests. It's an entirely different thing to have a racial pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. Todd Wishnev on the board with his first ridiculous comment. What do you got, number two, Todd?
Well, here's the thing about me. I like to be entertaining as well as informative. Some people are informative like you, Gil. Some people are entertaining like Mike. I try to bring the two together. Now,
yeah, you're the total package.
My second pick, you know what? I have to say it. I got to go with Brady on this one. I like the Atlanta Falcons too, and here's why. If you remember, the Atlanta Falcons, they do have a quarterback named Matty Ice, and of course I've coined the phrase Gilly Ice for mental fortitude lacking that Matty Ice has as well. But if you noticed last year late in the season, Matty Ice got his crap together. And the Atlanta Falcons played a lot better football late in the season. I believe there was a game against Seattle where Matt Schaub was the quarterback, and they kept it close and played him real tight. I think plus 2.5, Seattle's, to me, is the kind of team they can look amazing. They can look, you know, they're very up and down. You know, Russell Wilson gets three touchdowns behind, and then it comes flying back and wins the game out of nowhere. I could totally see this being like a 27-26 game. I'm getting 2.5 points. Atlanta at home. You know, Atlanta played really poorly coming out of the gate last year. They've got to have that in the back of their mind, thinking, we got to get off the schneid early in the season. We've got to play hard right off the get-go. Give me the Atlanta Falcons with Brady, plus the 2.5.
Wow. That game's got Plinko written all over it for me.
Oh, Plinko plus 2.5. I get 2.5 points in Plinko.
Yeah, Plinko might go against you, man. That chip might end up in a slot you don't like. But, you know, just my opinion. My number two pick, since we already have Mikey's, is the over in the Houston-Kansas City game tonight. My number two pick, as we fight through the just absolute din at the D in downtown Las Vegas, where it must be teeming with contests, signer-uppers.
Well, it's better than Mike's heavy breathing from last year.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, my number two pick is the Miami Dolphins. Hit it, Todd!
Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, number one.
All right, that's enough. I'm on the Dolphins plus the 6.5 against the New England Patriots. New era, obviously, in New England, not just because Tom Brady is gone and Cam Newton is in behind center, but because they are team opt-out. So many opt-outs. Over 5, less than 10. I want to count 7 or 8 total. But that includes Patrick Chung. It includes Dont'a Hightower. In fact, they are without their starting linebacking crew from last year, not just because of opt-outs, but also because of transactional things. And so the conventional wisdom seems to be, well, it's still Bill Belichick. It's still the New England Patriots. They're going to give 6.5 points to the Miami Dolphins. I simply do not get this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best quarterback in the AFC East, period. And I am all about the Dolphins. I have a Dolphins bet for them to win the AFC East at 11-1. I have a bet on them with the season win total over. I think this is a criminally underrated football team. You're giving me 6.5, a team that, remember, beat the Patriots in Week 17 last year when the Patriots did have Tom Brady and did desperately need to win that football game, completely ruined their playoff run by killing their seeding. Give me the Dolphins plus 6.5. Thank you very much. Brady, number three.
Okay, number three, I'm going to go to the AFC East as well, and I'm going to take the New York Jets, also getting 6.5. And for the third time in a row, I'm also going to start with public perception here And, you know, who is in love with the Jets this year besides their fans? And even those fans are perennial doubters. Meanwhile, everybody loves the Bills, including myself. But I do think Buffalo has a really good chance to go deep in the playoffs. That doesn't mean game one, week one, I'm going to lay a touchdown with them against a division opponent. And we know, especially the first 3 weeks in an NFL season, that division underdogs are a strong play. I go back to the fact that revenge is not a strong handicapping angle, and I don't put much stock into it. But we go back to the opening game last year, and it was a pretty tough pill to swallow, I imagine, for the Jets. They were up 16-0 on the Bills. C.J. Mosley gets hurt late in the game. Bills come back to win 17-16. I got to believe that the Jets have not forgotten that. And their season just immediately went downhill. Sam Darnold got mono, and the entire campaign was shot. So they kind of get a second chance here to start off their season with a good start. And I love the running back trio of Le'Veon Bell, Frank Gore, and LaMichael Pirine. Love the draft pick of Denzel Mims, Mekhi Becton. I think both of these teams are improved, but when the Jets were healthy last season, which was completely few and far between, I don't think they're nearly as bad as most of their season appeared or played out. So in my mind, these teams are much closer than a 6.5-point spread. I would say this ought to be more like the standard field goal spread and not jump all the way to a touchdown. I'll take New York and the points.
New York Jets, 6.5. Give the man 6.5 against the Buffalo Bills. Todd, number three, your third pick, sir.
I'm kind of torn. I sort of like the idea of betting against a Mike Mularkey-led Dallas Cowboys team. That's one place I might want to go. Or the over in that Dolphins game. You know what?
Just pick
because
one.
We've already had a pick on that Cowboys game. I'm going to pass the Cowboys game, although I am with Brady on that L.A. Rams team. I think the Cowboys are a joke, as always. Let me go with Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots over the 42. Is that what you have, Gil, 42?
Let's see here. Hold on. 42, yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to go over the 42 in the Miami Dolphins-Pats game, and here's why. With the Miami Dolphins, I get Ryan Fitzpatrick, almost a Hall of Fame spread quarterback. I mean, the guy covers the spread like Tom Brady wins Super Bowls. But they obviously were able to move the football last year against New England. I think they'll be able to move the football against a decimated, opt-out Patriots team. I think Miami can get you some points in this game. And the New England Patriots, you know Tom Brady. I mean, you know Bill Belichick is sitting there thinking, my new toy now, Cameron Newton. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this guy, but he played for Auburn. And I believe that, you know, Belichick's going to coach him up with some kind of, you know, for years and years and years, he had Thomas Brady, a Clydesdale running quarterback, slower than even me to get to the pizza. This guy was slow. Now he's got Cameron Newton, who's got to be a lot healthier. And he's got to be thinking, I can run all kinds of fun stuff. And who knows what he and Josh McDaniels have cooked up. I think they can move the football against the Miami Dolphins. And it's only 42. Give me the over. Let's go points.
Let's go points. Over 42. Mikey, final pick.
Todd, what do you have on a number for Bears-Lions side and total?
Gil, I have 42.5 as the total. And I have it three juiced heavily to the underdog. Is that what you have, Gil?
The three is juiced heavily to the underdog, but I have 43 as the official consensus.
Okay. We'll go with 43 and plus three minus 120?
Yep.
I'm going to play that game, Gil, as my final pick, over the 43. Over the 43. This is a bad Bears team, all right? It doesn't get helped out by Mitchell Trubisky. The good thing for Mitchell Trubisky is that Matt Patricia will play very, very vanilla defenses. Mitchell Trubisky will be able to move the ball down the field with a short passing game. You know he's not accurate at all when he goes deep down the field. But he does have some legs to him, and he'll have the ability to throw underneath in this game. I like the Lions, but I think that the Bears can put up 17 as well. And so I'm going to go over 43 here. And also a note, something that's equally as good this year is that you don't have to listen to my heavy breathing, is that since Todd is at his mother's house, he had to put clothes on. So we appreciate that, Todd.
That's right. For those who don't know, Mikey and I get to actually do this on video with Todd. So we are regaled by his beautiful, svelte body. Thankfully, though, still cloaked in clothes. My last pick is not going to have any really deep dive analysis. Cleveland is the third pick. I'll take the points against Baltimore. As long as this is over a touchdown, I'm getting 7.5 here. I will take the Cleveland Browns. The thinking just simply being that the subtraction of Freddie Kitchens is going to be a huge boon for the Cleveland Browns. Matty Humans, who works for the Vegas Stats and Information Network, has a great nickname for Freddie Kitchens, Larry the Cable Guy, which I think is a great great sort of image of what Freddie Kitchens brought to that ball club, which is not much and was perhaps a detriment to the team. I also think with the continuity of Baker Mayfield and his teammates on offense, I think that this team will be matured. I hope Baker Mayfield is actually more matured heading into a new season. Sometimes I think he was a little about himself. I just think that this is a lot of points, but give me the 7.5. If Baltimore beats me, you know, 34-0, lesson learned. But I'll take my chances in an NFL where I think with no offseason and no preseason games, a little less contact than normal, it's a lot of points to give in any game, especially against the team as talented, at least on paper, as the Cleveland Browns. So Cleveland plus 7.5 is my final pick. Teasers of the week. Now, if you recall last year's Megapod, I was spectacularly bad in six-point teasers. Two team six-point teasers. Mikey, what do you recall my record being?
I exaggerated, but for a long time you were stuck on two wins. I think you were like 2-13 at one point. I don't remember
what point
how it closed out.
Before a flurry that got me to about 5-11 or whatever it was at the end. All right, Brady, two team six-point teaser, because obviously a lot of people like to do teasers. I still think teasers, if done properly, are one of the best bets in the National Football League, if not the best, if you do them Stanford Wong-wise. That didn't work out last year, though, because all of mine were. Brady, what's your teaser of the week?
Yeah, no, you're right, Gil. In fact, a member of my Sanssouci team who has an extensive casino background told me one time, and this is back in the day when teasers, you know, were minus 110, maybe even at minus 120, he felt a two-team six-point teaser is the very best bet you can make in the NFL. And you guys know I like the Falcons with the point spread of 2. That's also a very advantageous number for a six-point teaser, taking it up to 8, or in this case, 8.5. So that's the first leg of my two-team teaser here. The second leg is the 49ers down to 1. And the Super Bowl loser angle here is a factor for sure, but I think that applies more so to this team covering the full 7 points in the game, and also a general account of their success in a follow-up season to losing the Super Bowl, not necessarily just winning this game. And I do think the 49ers are a far better team than Arizona. The Cardinals, they grabbed everybody's attention this offseason, acquiring DeAndre Hopkins. All of a sudden, they were, you know, a challenger for the division. I think this team still has holes on the offensive line. Their defense is spotty at best. The secondary is getting older. I do think they're going to be a fun team to watch, and I think they'll be involved in some shootouts, and this could be one on Sunday. But I'm not ready to put them up and over San Francisco, Seattle, and Los Angeles in the division. And I know Arizona is a division dog here, and the Niners, you know, tend to struggle with mobile quarterbacks, but I think San Francisco has an excellent running game, and the receiving core, I think, is better than people think. People like to note the loss of Emmanuel Sanders, but they forget the draft choice of Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, who I think can be a real weapon. You've got Mostert, Coleman, and a finally healthy Jerick McKinnon, which is a sick Kyle Shanahan-type backfield. I think Javon Kinlaw is going to be an awesome player on the defensive line. And again, you know, 13-3 last year, a loss in the Super Bowl. I think in general, San Francisco is a bit of a fade for me this season. I would go under their season win total. But to win this game over Arizona, who I think is a little bit overhyped this year, to win this game by 2 points, I think that's a good teaser play.
Okay. Brady with the Falcons Niners. Two-team six-point teaser. By the way, for those who wondered what I was saying before, a Stanford Wong teaser. Stanford Wong, a pseudonym for an author that wrote great gambling books in the past. But the most positive EV teaser legs are short home favorites that you get to tease through the 3 and the 7, short home dogs that you get to tease through the 3 and the 7, and home teams of just above a 7-point spread where you can tease it back down through the 7 and the 3. Now, that's in a normal year with no normal home field advantage. This is obviously a quirky year where home field advantage, if it's anything at all, is still to be determined. But that is historically what quality Stanford Wong teaser legs are. I will buck that momentarily and not use one of those. But Brady's on.
I think mine does apply, right?
Yours does apply in both cases.
Yeah.
Although San Francisco gets you through the three, really, technically. So, yeah, not a perfect Stanford Wong leg, but almost perfect. Todd, what's yours?
Okay, I'm going to go also with the Atlanta Falcons. I like the Atlanta Falcons. We've talked about why I like the Atlanta Falcons. Brady's talked about why he likes the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to get 8.5 points. I'll take it. Atlanta plus the 8.5. For the second part of the teaser, I'm going to take the New England Patriots. I just think that the Pats have that thing in the back of their heads. They lost to this Miami Dolphins team in a big game late in the season. Like I said before, I think Belichick's got new toy in his candy store with Cam Newton. So I think the Pats come out here, and if all I've got to do is win the game, I'm a minus a half. Give me the Pats, the second team in my two-team teaser.
All right, Atlanta and New England for Toddy. Mikey?
Did Todd know that we were doing this show today? Why is there so much faux angst about what his picks are going to be? Didn't he make them before we went on air?
I'm
going to party like it's 2011 and use both the...
I'm allowed to have angst, Mike, okay? You're allowed to have angst. It's the first week.
My turn. I didn't interrupt you when you talked. I'm going to party like it's 2011.
You can't take the under in the first period. Mikey, you can't take the under in the first period in these picks. Sorry.
Brady Cannon's top two picks, the Rams, let's tease them up to 8.5, and the Falcons, let's tease them up to 8.5. And Todd's already talked about why Brady liked them, so I don't need to talk about it.
Atlanta, and who was the other team, Mikey? I'm sorry?
Atlanta and the Rams.
Oh, the Brady Cannon special.
Yes.
Dare I make it all four of us who are taking the Atlanta Falcons on these teasers? You know what that means, boys and girls.
It's kind of the obvious one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, to some extent it is. So Atlanta teasing through the 3 and the 7 to about 8.5. Atlanta plus 8.5 on one side of the teaser. My other side is actually not a textbook leg. I'm taking the Indianapolis Colts and teasing them down through the 7 and the 3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this could be a historically bad football team. They're obviously tanking for Trevor, are the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if the Colts just can't beat them, all I'm asking them to do is beat them. For goodness sakes, I deserve to be 0-1 on a teaser. So it's Indianapolis and Atlanta is my teaser
what
of the week.
What is that? Colts minus what, Gil?
Minus a half.
Okay, because I see the Colts everywhere as 8. So are you sure?
Give me minus 1.
Yeah, that should take it.
Give
down
me minus
two,
1. Give me minus 2. Yes, I'm sorry. Give me minus 2.
Okay, I'm not holding you in contempt, but I am. It's a warning.
Okay, it's a warning, everybody. Minus 2. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking right there. Indianapolis minus 2. Again, as long as it's under the 3, that's my play. All right.
By the way, I like Mikey's. Even though I don't like Mikey as a person,
right.
I do like his pick with the Rams up to 8.5.
All right. You didn't like mine? Is that what you're telling me secretly?
No, I'm just saying that I wanted to say something nice about Mike because, you know, he's just he's a bad person and you want to help him out a little.
And you interrupted him five times.
First he was the stenographer, now he's the judge. That's unbelievable.
This kid is amazing. All right, last thing before the final two questions. Survivor pick of the week. Now, if any of us are still alive in Survivor late in the season, you are allowed not to give your pick. But here, week one, why not? Brady, if you were in a Survivor, by the way, are you in Circus Survivor, Brady? Yes, no?
I'm not. That is really just not my cup of tea as far as a style of NFL gambling. I'm not a Survivor guy. I've played a few times. I've come close, but I am not in Mike's contest.
All right. What would it be if you were in Survivor? What would it be?
Well, I have to preface this by saying I have not mapped out the entire 16, 17-week season, what have you. So I'm not necessarily being strategic about who I'm going to pick this week, but I think the 49ers are a good team to win this week.
49ers.
You know, I expressed my feelings there in my teaser play.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if they'll cover the 7, but I think they win the game. That would be my my Survivor play this week.
Mikey, just clarify for everybody the rules of Circus Survivor. You are allowed to use the same team more than once, yes or no?
No.
And is it against the spread or is it straight up?
Straight up, and you can only use the team once.
Okay.
And you have to use the Thanksgiving Day. That's a week unto itself, so there's 18 weeks.
All right. Straight up, cannot use a team more than once. I knew this, by the way. I just wanted to clarify. Okay. Who do you have, Mikey?
I'm using the Colts against the tanking Jaguars this week.
That's exactly who I'm using. Colts, at least in one of my two entries. I'm taking the Colts because I wouldn't mind having them fall by the wayside in terms of being able not to use them again, that is. So I'm taking the Colts. Todd?
Now, Mike, of course, is going to give me a hard time for not being prepared, but nobody told me we were doing Survivor this year until the beginning of this phone call. So I like Brady, who is being intelligent and telling us that you have to map out the season so you see who you're going to need later. That's the only way to really play Survivor correctly, but since you and Mikey didn't realize that, that's fine.
No, we did. We're
I'm
just
going to say,
oh, for God's sake.
I
sakes.
Know you did. I'm just giving you a little dig.
Yeah.
Calm down. Relax. Just relax. Okay? I'm going to take a team that comes by the name of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's right. The Steelers are back with Benny Roethlisberger at the quarterback position. We're going in to play Danny Dimes, and I think Ben Roethlisberger, sans the beard, gets it done, and who probably is going to need them later? Nobody. I'll take the Steelers.
And they won't let me have him on MSG Plus, Mikey. Do you believe that? It's just amazing.
They what do you mean they won't let him have it?
Oh, I got serious.
Oh,
see?
You're talking
oh,
about me?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, all of a sudden.
I'm going to be unentertaining from now on. I'm going to go back to sulking and being good. Yes, Gil.
See?
I'll take the
see, Todd?
Steelers.
That was a very quick way of turning things against you. All of a sudden, look how the tables turned.
Unbelievable.
All right, final two questions. He can dish. He can't receive. Final two questions. Of all the big favorites on the board, which is the one most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? Otherwise known as, what's the team that's going to jack up your money line favorite parlay, if that's how you choose to play the NFL? Brady, who's the big favorite that you are least likely to trust? And let me define who these are. The Kansas City Chiefs, 9.5-point favorites against Houston tonight. Let's go with the 6.5s because there's not enough to choose from if I don't. Buffalo, 6.5 over the Jets. New England, 6.5 over the Dolphins. Baltimore 7.5 over Cleveland, and San Francisco 7-point favorites against Arizona. Oh, did I skip the Colts? Colts by 8 over Jacksonville. Pardon me.
Well, you're not going to like hearing this, but that would be my choice, the Indianapolis Colts.
Hmm.
I think they have a great deal of talent and really all over the field. I actually picked this team to win the division. But so much of their talent is brand new, including their most important piece, Phillip Rivers, at quarterback. So you guys know training camp has been basically a glorified Zoom meeting. You have no preseason reps, and now all of a sudden this team is supposed to just immediately gel and fire on all cylinders in game one, week one. I also don't believe in the tank theory on Jacksonville. I think we saw that with the Miami Dolphins last year, and it didn't really come to fruition. What the Jacksonville Jaguars have that the Colts don't is continuity, and you touched on this a little bit earlier, Gil.
Yeah.
This is basically the same team, same coaching staff, a couple of minor upgrades via the draft in Jacksonville. And also, this Colts team, they are built for playing in a dome with speed, and now they go to hot, sticky Florida. It's going to be 88 degrees, 80% humidity, on grass. I also think that COVID travel is different from traditional travel for road teams this year. You got a division game, division home dog. I think the Jags actually have a shot.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we are, Mikey and I are relying on Phillip Rivers to survive. In our Survivor pool with that pick. Todd, biggest favorite, most likely to lose outright in your opinion?
I'm going to go with the Colts too. If you're going to go and talk about big faves that could theoretically go down, I believe the Colts lost in week 16 to the Jags last year to put them under the total of their season win total. I mean, who are the Colts? Like, what's so special about the Colts? I don't think there's anything special about them. And Phillip Rivers is certainly not somebody who I think is a Hall of Fame quarterback, Mikey. Write that down, Mikey.
Well, okay? No, the Colts have to answer your question, the Colts have a pretty spectacular offensive line, and Jacksonville has lost players since then.
We're talking about teams that can theoretically lose. That's why they're favored by
Todd Wishnev, I only have outgoing, but incoming I cannot take. Incoming I cannot take.
This is going to be the new thing. Todd can't take anything. Blah, blah, blah.
Mike?
But Todd, what about the Houston Oilers? How good were those Oilers teams?
Let me tell you something. Warren Moon could spin it, baby. Warren Moon could spin it.
All right, I'm going to take the Patriots as the favorite that could get upset. I think there's so many guys that have left that program.
Yes.
We really don't know what we're getting. I like Fitzpatrick. They were able to beat this team last year. I give the Dolphins a shot to win this game.
Yeah, and as you know, I'm already on the Dolphins. Patriots would be my selection as well for all the reasons stated. We just don't know. They don't have players. Like, how good do you people think Belichick is? I mean, you cannot overcome not having the players on the field. Stop it already. As I now cut to a shot of me Sunday night just shaking my head in dismay if the Patriots crush him. Last question. If we were playing a bizarro game.
What's your pick? Gil, what's your pick on the big favorite could lose?
Oh my God! Did he? Was he? Was he here? New England.
Oh, so you and Mikey like the Pats?
Yes, I remember I had Miami earlier too, as one of my best bets. Oh, all right. Final question: if we were in a bizarro world and we had to play a side rather in each and every one of these games, but we got one free pass, one game that you wanted no part of on the side, Brady, what would it be?
Well, I'm with you guys leaning towards Miami versus New England with the points, but I really don't know what to make of this team yet, and I really don't know what to make of New England. So I'm just going to wait and see. I do not have a bet on that game, but the one I really want no part of is Tennessee versus Denver on Monday night, and I know you guys really like the Titans, and this is really not about the Von Miller thing, but I'm not really sold on either of these teams. I think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. He's improving year in and year out. But I thought they caught a little bit of lightning in the bottle last year with Tannehill and Derrick Henry going nuts the second half of the season. And the Drew Lock point. Yeah, I mean, how good is this guy really? And all of a sudden, you know, they're, you know, a contender for the division because he beat up on weak competition the last four games. So I am not high on either of these teams, and I don't know who's going to show up, if it's going to be a good or bad version on Monday night, so I'll stay a long ways away.
I'm glad you're the first guest this year, Brady, because you do see things a lot differently than I know I do heading into week one, and we'll see who's on it most of the time or who's been completely wrong, or maybe it'll just split down the middle. So I really appreciate the perspective. Todd, game you want no part of?
I want no part of the Cincinnati Bengals against the Los Angeles Chargers. What in the world is that? Who knows what you're getting with Cincinnati? Los Angeles has lost their Phillip Rivers. I have no idea. Is Eckler going to get stopped at the half-yard line 42 times and instant replay stop me from winning a bet? Who knows what's going to happen? I don't want any part of it.
That's great.
I was on the right side of that, meaning the winning side. Let's not call it the right side. I was on the winning side of that. I was standing at the Cosmo. That was
the cheating side.
The cheating side. I do believe it was the cheating side. And I said to I can't remember who I was with, but I said to him, I was like, "Don't, if I ever tell you I don't get the, you know, nothing good ever happens to me, remind me of this moment." By the way, I'm surprised that more people, anecdotally, right? I don't have the evidence on this, but I'm surprised that more people, just in people I've talked to, aren't on the Chargers. Like, there does not seem to be any Chargers love against a rookie quarterback playing his first game in the National Football League. Very interesting to me. Mikey, game you want no part of?
And how bad is the scheduling by the NFL that's one of the three late games?
Yeah.
It's Chargers. It's just awful. Anyhow, I want no part of the Saints-Bucks game just because I need to see this Bucks team. I'm not necessarily sold on the hype. Is Tom Brady better than Jameis? I don't know. I mean, he looked pretty bad the last 2 months of the season last year, playing in a system that he's known for so long. Yeah, he'll have a lot more weapons, but is Father Time going to catch up to him? So I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on the Bucks probably for a few weeks and certainly this week.
That's as good a choice as any. I ended up on Seattle-Atlanta. I know I have Atlanta in my teaser, but to me, that is the most Plinko-ish game out there. Meaning it could fall anywhere on the number. Seattle, Atlanta would be my pick, but I would give Tampa Bay, New Orleans honorable mention as well.
I agree with Mike, too. That one is really hard to figure out.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Absolutely. New Orleans favored by 3.5.
I want to switch. Can I switch my teaser from Atlanta plus 8.5 and Pats minus 0.5 to Rams plus 8.5 and Atlanta plus 8.5? Because I like the Rams also. So can I switch out of my Pats side of my teaser?
Okay. Isn't that what you had, Mikey, also?
That is what Mikey had. Can I take that, though?
Yeah, okay. Sure. You're allowed to. You're allowed to do whatever you want, Todd Wishnev. Whatever you want.
I see your strategy, Todd. You're just going to copy me on the teasers and tie for first because we know Gil has no shot.
Apparently, you guys have never seen primetime action on MSG Plus, where I can't miss.
Thinking about moving to New York.
Yeah, there you go. For Todd Wishnev and Mike Palm, staples on the show each and every week here on the Megapod, and to Brady Cannon, kind enough to join us for the first week each and every year, former Super Contest champion. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. Can't believe football is here. Very pumped. Enjoy. Good luck with all your bets. Thanks for listening to the Megapod.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.